Thank you that you send your son Jesus on a day like this, and we remember Jesus. And help us also to understand about ourselves so that we can respond to the one who has come to save us. Thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been a very eventful year, hasn't it? Lots of things have happened, not just to yourselves, but in the world. And a lot of things that they put on YouTube or whatever now that summarizes what's happened in the year. But even as the year is drawing to a close, there are still so many huge events that's happening around us. So it's been an interesting year. And as I reflect about the year that's gone past, I remember about science and technology and all the things and all the hopes that it carries for mankind. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved science. I was going to bring my microscope here today and show you, but I treasure it so much, I don't want the kids behind to break it. So that's why I just want you to imagine me holding my microscope. But I've been pestering my dad, you know, when I was a kid, to buy me a microscope so I can see how things look like when they are close up. And of course, kids today don't need microscopes anymore, don't they? All they need is just Google the thing and they can see the image in big, you know, you can enlarge the picture. But of course, in my time and in many people's time, when you have to learn something, you have to do it the hard way. You have to find out and you have to maybe even dissect a frog. You know, I remember in science class, my science teacher had chloroform. A bunch of frogs, but apparently one frog on top didn't get enough gas. So as they dissected the frog and pinned it to the side, the frog regained consciousness and started to crawl off the board. And everybody didn't know what to do. Ah! The frog has been opened up and it started crawling off the board. So I will spare you the details of what stopped the frog from crawling away, but it was pretty traumatic for me as a kid to remember. But science is very interesting, isn't it? And the latest news is, of course, man is finally preparing to go to Mars. Man is not happy just to go to the moon. They want to go to the Mars as well. But in preparing for this trip, it would be a huge undertaking. Scientists have estimated it needs about 60 rocket launches to send up things enough in space to assemble it together for the one trip to Mars. Right now, there's only about 10 rocket launches a year. So they have to increase it by 600% just for this one trip. But not only that, it takes about 9 months to go from Earth to Mars. Now, we're supposed to have a baby Jesus today. Hong is here with little baby Oliver. Baby Oliver just was born less than a month ago. And you can ask Hong how it feels like to carry a baby for 9 months, or Ying. It's a long, long time, isn't it? And imagine if mankind has to take 9 months to go to Mars. And when they arrive, they can't just come back home straight away. They have to recalculate what's the shortest path to come back to Earth. And it takes another 9 months. So that's the wonder of technology. But even as I reflect on this scientific quest, this sacrifice of time and energy and resources, I feel sad for mankind. Because even though we have this great dream of going to where no one has ever ventured before, and that's a quote from Star Trek, I wonder if sometimes we have brought too much luggage with us. Because wherever we go, there is one thing that stays with us, whether we like it or not, whether we want to leave it behind or not. And that thing is the heart and all the things that come into our heart. Things like pride, envy, jealousy, greed, fear, loneliness, self-centeredness, even guilt. and self-condemnation. We cannot escape from it. We may be able to escape from the earth's gravity, but we cannot escape from all these things that affect our lives. So yes, science, technology, and medicine has advanced a lot for us in the year 2016, but we still have many things, many hurdles to overcome. You see, science today can cure heart disease, but it cannot cure the worries of our hearts. They can examine the brain in detail, but they cannot understand the motives that people do. They can restore our eyesight, but it may not still allow us to see the truth. It can make someone hear again, but they may not still listen to people around them. You see, when humans fail, distance does not matter. Wherever you are, we are always trapped. And so this Christmas, we come again to the one who came 2,000 years ago and who gives us an answer, not just to the people on earth, but to the whole universe. And of course, we who are searching for answers, who think about life, we must think that there must be an answer somewhere. And so when I was very young too, apart from my science, I was invited to watch a film. And people in my church know it very well. This is a film about an Indian fella, a Sikh. Sikhs are people who wear turbans. And he was challenged to give up his life. He had been opposed Christianity when he was young. He was so angry with the Bible, with God, because his mother died, that he burned the Bible, that he was so angry with, that God didn't save his mother. But as he slowly understood God's truth, he decided to become a Christian. And he told his father, and his father said, "Look, we are Sikhs, we cannot follow another religion." But he, as much as he tried to persuade his son, the son couldn't be persuaded. And so the father invited the son to have a last meal with him. And after the meal, he was sent out of the house because the father had to disown him. As he was outside, he suddenly felt pain in his stomach. And the pain got worse and worse. And he realized that his father had poisoned the meal so that he doesn't need to face the disgrace of having a son who's turned to another religion. But some missionaries found him and rescued him and saved his life. And from then on, I find that it was very interesting that this person would dedicate his life to sharing this good news. He went to Tibet, and you know that in Tibet, that's where the Dalai Lama stayed. He even preached the gospel to all the Buddhist priests. And of course, when you go into a certain land in the old days, some people may not be happy about what you do. Even though he came without any guns or whatever, he was just wearing his robe, they didn't accept him. And many times he was beaten up. Many times he was stoned. And one of the punishments they have in Tibet is they would sew the person into a cow skin and hang it up there. And people would take sticks and beat the hide so that they don't know what they're hitting. And he would suffer many of these kind of punishment. Another time he was thrown into a deep well. And there was a key that was only controlled by one of the chief priests. He was left there to rot and maybe to die. But during one of the nights when he was praying, he heard the door of the well open up and a rope was thrown down to him. And he went up the rope. Just as he turned to thank his rescuer, he discovered that there was no one there. And later on, they found that he had escaped. So they reported him this escape to the chief priest. And the chief priest was so angry. He said, "Who let this fellow out? The person should be punished. Who stole my key?" And as he said that, he put his hand and he realized the key was still with him. No one had stolen the key. It was a miracle how he got out. And I was impressed by that story. I was impressed because it showed me that this person had a purpose. This person had something to die for, literally. And he would do that over and over again, every year as the snow melts. And he could go through the mountain passes. He would preach the good news. And one day, during such a trip, he disappeared. No one knows where he is. Some people say he was trapped in a snowstorm and he died. Others say he was taken straight to heaven. Well, we certainly don't know what will happen to him. You see, when humans fail, it is often the end of the story. On the other side of the world, I want to tell you another story that has impressed me. This man's name was Dwight Moody. Now, you would not hear much of him because, you know, the only word you know about Moody is when you're not very happy, isn't it? That's what Moody means. But this fellow had this name, Dwight Moody. But he was a very poor man. In fact, his whole family was very poor. And he had very little education. He had only maybe a few years of education. And so he ended up as a shoe salesman. He would often do what they call hassling, okay? So he would stand outside and he'd see a lady walking past and say, "Wow, I have some special shoes for you." And he would try to get a lot of business by asking these people who come in and buy shoes. He was very rough. He was very uncultured. But he was a very successful shoe salesman. And one day, because of his hassling of his customers, someone approached him and shared the good news, the gospel with him. And he found that the story of Jesus was very interesting. So he became a Christian. And of course, when he went to church, he was a misfit because, you know, when you come to church, you are, you know, like today, you're all expected to stand. So some of you may be feeling a bit tired, but you know, you don't feel happy to sit down. But you see, for Moody, he was very frank. If he thinks something is wrong, he will say it. If he thinks something is not right, he will say it. And so they put him in charge of the Sunday school department. And again, he used his shoe sales methods. He would go out in the streets and he would literally pull in the kids. And you know how many people he pulled in? He got a Sunday school department of about 2,000 kids in the streets of Chicago. But he continued to share the story of Jesus to the young kids. And people noticed that he could preach quite well. And so they invited him more and more to share with the adult audience. And many people became Christians because of his message. And so one day he was invited to England. And you know, again, in England, the churches are very established. So one priest stood up one day at the meeting and started to pray. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Long time, he didn't stop. So Moody stood up and he said, "Brothers, let us sing a hymn while our brother finishes praying." Who would do that today if Ching Ling were singing too long? And they would stand up and say, "Let us pray while Ching Ling is still singing." Nobody would want to do that. But Moody was a very frank person. He could call a spade, to put it mildly. And he impressed many people, even though he had very little education. He impressed one guy. His name was Charles Studd, a Cambridge scholar and an excellent cricket player. But I won't go into his story too long. But he became a Christian because of him. He was impressed by his earnestness and his straight talk. And he later became a missionary, not only in China, but also in India and Africa. You see, when humans fail, it is because the world says that they have failed. Because they have judged people by their own standards of success and wealth. But you may ask me today, what is all these stories got to do with me? You see, I think Christianity is a very strange belief system. It is when you are weak that you are strong. It is when you are humble that you are glorified. It is when you have admit you have failed that you will find real success in your life. And so who among us have not failed? Who among us have not lied or cheated or failed someone or even God and ourselves? We cannot run away from ourselves. Is this why so many things are happening in the world today? When people become so hardened that they refuse to compromise. The UN just passed a vote yesterday. They were condemning Israel for illegal settlement building in some parts of the West Bank. And the US, for the first time, wanted to vote to agree because they didn't agree with the aggressiveness of Israel's stand. And of course, Donald Trump said, we shouldn't do that. But the Obama administration insisted that they, even though they didn't vote for it, they abstained, and so the vote passed. All the members voted except US to condemn this aggressiveness of the Israelites, of the Israelis. You see, in this world, we still have a lot of things that we have to strive for before peace comes. And so we come to today's passage, the passage that's read by Alvin earlier. This person called Isaiah, perhaps you might want to put this passage up on the screen. This person, Isaiah, lived about 700 years before Jesus. And he wrote this interesting observation about God. And he wrote this, he said, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom or understand. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Isaiah made an observation about those people who trust in God. You see, the funny thing about life is this. We cannot understand God, can we? We can only understand limited things. Someone was just asking me a bit earlier about life. And I made this observation. You see, sometimes we want to improve ourselves. But we can't improve ourselves unless we get feedback. Those of us who are married, we get our wives to remind us time and time again how weak we are or how short we have fallen. But we, the rest of us, we come to church, and sometimes the brothers or our sisters can help us to improve ourselves. Because when we try to improve ourselves, we cannot see our own blind spots. We cannot see the things we are weak in. But in the church, we try to help one another, to encourage one another, so that we can grow strong. And in the passage today that we have read, we who hope in the Lord will renew our strength. Because, you see, God understands our weakness. God is the one who can help us in our time of need. This Christmas, God came to man in the weakest form. If you had to say people who are weak, which is the weakest stage of your life? Surely it has to be when you came as a baby, isn't it? Because as a baby, all you can do is to cry, cry, and cry. There's nothing else a baby can do. You can ask little baby Oliver. When I visited them, baby Oliver was very nice, and then suddenly he started crying because he wants his parents' attention, maybe for feeding or when he's wet or whatever and needs his diaper change. But that's the weakness of mankind. The ultimate weakness of mankind is to be a baby, so defenseless, so weak. And yet, on Christmas Day, God came to man as a baby to show us that the weakest form that man can take on is to be a baby. But we also grow weary, we grow tired. In life, in our struggles, in everything we dream and aspire to. But just as the sun never stops shining, the Son of God never stops helping us. He lifts us up in our weakness, as the passage says. He encourages us when problems come our way. He stays with us when others have abandoned us. He is the anchor in the storms of all our lives. I know from hearing the stories in the past that he was with this Sikh person. His name was Sadhu Sudhan Singh. He was with Charles Studd, the brilliant cricketer, and definitely he was with Dwight Moody. Men who feel that they are abandoned by the world because they have abandoned the world's standard. When they refuse to play by the world's rules, but by a high rule. But in the process of giving up so much, they found peace, hope, joy, purpose, and strength. Why wouldn't we want that in our lives? Why wouldn't we aspire to get what these people have discovered so long ago? You see, Jesus said one day, "I am come that you may have life and have it abundantly." That's in John 10:10. You may have life abundantly. And if we are who we say we are, who say some of us who say that we are believers, why aren't we living the abundant life? Why aren't we living a life that is glorifying to God? Maybe we still haven't encountered the true Christ, the true God who lifts us up when we are weak. But some of you will say, "I don't need God because I'm still young, I'm still strong, I'm still healthy." Well, nothing can be further than the truth, isn't it? I remember a brilliant Malaysian student during my time when I was helping out the church in the city. He was a leader among his peers, and he had finished Melbourne Uni, the top of his class, a brilliant student on government scholarship. He was an East Malaysian, and he had gone back. Within a month of him going back to look for a brilliant job, the bad news came. He had crossed the road, and a truck or a lorry had hit him, and he passed away. And you wonder, such a waste of life, such a waste of talent, that someone who could have done so much could leave this world. Another friend of mine, he also studied in Melbourne. He went back and he did very well. He was serving with the Sarawak government. And one day, because he was so high up the chain, the government invited him to go to a certain, you know, Sarawak is a very big place, and many places are very hilly and inaccessible to normal roads. So some of the trips they have to take had to be done by helicopter, and that day when he was on the helicopter crashed. It was a very big news in East Malaysia when a lot of high officials were killed, and my friend was killed. And I wonder why he would die at such a young age. God gives strength to the weakest. You see, in this world, we have a lot of trials to face. But we do have our weakness. And when we go into the new year, we have a whole new world. Because we have a new U.S. president coming in. and he is determined to fight with anyone who opposes him or who thinks he is the enemy, they are the enemy. So are we prepared for the end times? Because things might happen sooner than expected. Are we going to look towards the baby who grew up to be a man, who grew up to be the savior of the world? Because if we don't trust in the one who fights for us, who else can we turn to in our moments of weakness and sadness? I love telling the story of the word Emmanuel, because the prophet Isaiah himself says his name shall be called Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. You see, all religions tell us that we must strive. We must work hard to be near God. But the Bible tells us that you don't have to do that. Because you see, when Jesus was born, he is with us. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. He will not let us fail. You see, when humans fail, God is with us. And we know that we must turn away from our past to turn towards God. That is the starting point. You see, unless a thief repents, he will continue stealing. Unless a liar admits it, he will continue lying or drinking or taking drugs. Unless we admit our sins and our failures, we can never find true redemption. You see, the prophet Isaiah knew that. You see, those who trust in him means those who turn towards him and admit they are weak instead of being strong, they will find strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will be freed from shame, condemnation, and we will be set free. And what happens when we are set free? Well, Jesus himself tells us in Luke chapter 15. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You see, Jesus has already declared there is rejoicing when we turn towards him, when we admit our weakness. When I first heard all these words, I knew that God had got me. I was very interested in science. I was following technology. I was following man's first landing on the moon. I was interested in the development of science to fight cancer and all kinds of things. And when my mom died, I was very interested to find all the medical technologies that could have saved her. I was following all these things. But you see, no matter how much science I knew that my heart still wasn't right. So I had to turn towards the one who would free me. You see, we all face disappointments in life. It is at this time that we turn towards God, to God to rescue us. You see, when humans succeed, it is because God has turned our sadness into joy. I hope that this Christmas, that you will find true peace, true joy, true hope. That your heart will not be troubled by the things of the world, because we can turn to the one who has given us hope. This person who came as a little baby. And so let's pray and spend a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves to receive this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's just pray. Father, I pray for all of us today, who have come here. I pray that you will continue to search our hearts and come to our hearts afresh. Help us to know you. And help us to acknowledge that we are weak. And in so doing, we will receive strength from you. And when we turn towards you, in our hearts have been turned over to you, then that we know there will be rejoicing. So strengthen us, build us up, and continue to help us to share this love with this hurting world today, the world that's still at war, and that many people are still being killed because there's no peace. We pray for the Prince of Peace to come. We pray for Emmanuel to come into our hearts, because we know that when we fail, that we know in weakness we are made strong. And so we thank Jesus today. We thank God who has freed us. And we pray that we will always turn to him in our times of trouble, because this is the message of Christmas. We pray and thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to share with you a video. It is about the Mother Mary when she gave birth to her son Jesus. I'd like you to hear the words of this song. I think it's a very good song.
Mary, did you know your babe boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Give sight to the blind. Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss this sleeping child, holding.